very solemn words we're about to read. This is a revelation that God has given to John. It's a revelation from Jesus sent to John by an angel. That's what we read in the beginning of this book. And there's a lot between the beginning and this point, but we're coming to the end here. And John says, I saw the dead, verse number 12, Revelation 20, verse number 12. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. When was the last time you saw a dead man standing? Unless it was just an image of the dead man, a wax image or a marble or one carved in stone, but I saw the dead, small and great, no distinguishing here, stand before God. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And here we are at this great judgment scene, and John sees the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. So the books, not defined, but there are books, plural, that are opened. And then in distinction to those books, another book, which is defined as the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So whatever the books are, they are a record of the works of individuals, small and great. I would suggest to you that the Bible speaks of our words being recorded in a book. In Matthew chapter 12, our tears being recorded, Psalm 56. Romans chapter 2, our thoughts. So we can surmise all we want. The scripture does not distinguish, but today's technology tells us that it's possible to recover the words of an individual from a rock or from a wall. There is somewhere in your conscience, in God's omniscience, there is a record of every idle thought and every deed that you and I have done. The books are opened because we're standing before a judge. And just to be fair, he's going to judge us according to the works. And to be short and brief this morning, I will tell you, you're not going to come out of that well. For the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are unprofitable. The poison of asp is under our lips. We have all together gone out of the way. All that's in Romans chapter 3. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so these books are going to record sins committed by everyone who's standing there. But I'm glad to tell you that Scripture tells us there was another book opened. It's called the Book of Life. Now, it doesn't say anything more about it right now, but it will in just a moment. So they're judged according to the things written in the books. The books were opened. The record of our deeds, our words, our actions are all open before the judge on the throne. And we're judged out of those things. I can tell you for sure that the result of the judgment for Douglas McClain will not be good. I will stand undoubtedly condemned, unworthy, a guilty transgressor before a holy God who deserves nothing but eternal condemnation and punishment. I would suggest the same would be true of you. Then we read in verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Let's stop for just a moment. We understand that there are many people whose lives were lost at sea. They were never seen again. Their bodies were never recovered and placed in a grave or in a tomb, but are in the sea. So their bodies, that we're talking about the physical body here, the dead that are in the sea are given up by the sea. So there's a resurrection of the body from the sea. And death, the word there, death, is thanatos in the Greek. It's a word commonly just denoting death, but also refers to where the body goes in death. And so the body is in the grave. And so the grave, so the graves on earth and the graveyard of the sea give up the dead which were in them. But it doesn't just say death, it says death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. So there's two classes of individuals I see in verse 12 and verse 13. There are those who are the living dead in verse number 12. The dead standing before God, small and great. Remember last week we learned that death is not synonymous with non-existence. The Bible speaks of having passed from death unto life. And so we are separated from God by our sin, which places us in a position of being physically alive, spiritually dead. But we can pass from that spiritual death into spiritual life and be not only physically alive, but spiritually alive by believing on the record that God has given us of His Son. So when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we pass from death unto life. And we now are not only physically alive, we are spiritually alive. And we will never die. So he's saying, I see the dead, all of those that are unsaved, all of those who have spiritual death, they're physically alive, but they're spiritually dead, stand before God, small and great. And the books are open and they're judged from those books. Then those that are physically dead are resurrected, they're delivered up from their resting place, and they too are judged, every man according to his work. So those that were physically alive and spiritually dead, those that were physically dead and spiritually dead, are all judged before him out of the books according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And now we come back to that book of life mentioned as being opened in verse 12, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So all of us have our deeds recorded in a book, and all of the works that we've done were judged according to those works. But then we are, the record of the book of life is checked, and is our name recorded in the book of life? Have we passed from death unto life through faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus? And it's called other places in Scripture the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God, the Lamb's book of life. And if our name is written there, we are not cast into the lake of fire. But if we are not found in the book of life, we're cast in the lake of fire. I told you a moment ago that for sure when my name comes up before judgment and the books are opened, I'm going to be condemned without any question. But I'm happy to tell you that it's my absolute confidence today that when the book of life is opened, my condemnation will be set aside. And I will be given the privilege to live forever in the presence of the King. Not because my works say that I deserved it, but because the book of life says that I repented of my sin and trusted Christ as my Savior. And my name was written in the book of life. Just like when I was born physically, a record of my birth was made. When I was born again spiritually, a record of my birth was made in heaven, in the Lamb's book of life. Now, having gone there and said that, I want to spend some time again with you talking about the Bible teaching on death and life. We learned last week that the body was made from the dust of the earth, and it's going to return to the dust of the earth. That body which God made became a living soul by God breathing into its nostrils the breath of life. In John 1, we read that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. We learned in Proverbs chapter 20 that the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. So that spiritual life, which made him a living soul, came from the breath of God. When man sinned against God, he lost that fellowship with God. And so he still has a body and a soul, but he's not a living soul anymore. He is dead. He is physically alive, but spiritually dead. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. So we learned that last week. I want to go further and tell you that the language in your Bible, the New Testament, concerning death, there are two key words you need to know. One is sleep, and the other is departure. And by the way, it's not just in the New Testament. It's very clear in the New Testament, but it's also in the Old Testament, as you're going to see in just a moment. When we speak of death, if we're talking about the body, it has fallen asleep. And there is no consciousness, there is no activity, there is no power. The term is used sleep, meaning that it will awaken again. There will be awakening. If it wasn't sleep, if it was non-existence, that would be it. But the Bible uses the term sleep. And then in reference to the soul, the word departure. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, we read, "Then shall the dust return to the dust, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it." So the spirit or soul of a man departs, his body is laid in the grave as if it were asleep. Now go with me to the book of Genesis, please. And I hope you'll follow me in these scriptures. And I hope you'll note them, write them down, so that you can share with others the truth of the Bible concerning life and death. There are going to be books written, there are going to be films made, there are going to be stories told, but the truth has been revealed from one who lived in heaven from eternity, who came down from heaven and reveals to us the truth. Genesis chapter 25, verse number 17. These are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. And he gave up the ghost. So you see the idea of the departure of the soul or spirit. He gave up the ghost and died. And notice this statement, was gathered unto his people. He was gathered unto his people. You might be thinking what they're saying is they took him to the family graveyard and buried him in the same place where his father was or his mother was or his brothers were or great-grandpa or great-grandma. That's not the meaning of that. He was gathered unto his people. Let me show you. Go on to chapter 35, Genesis 35. So he died and was gathered unto his people. Genesis chapter 35 and verse 29. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him. There are two distinct things happening here. One, he is gathered unto his people. He gives up the ghost and is gathered unto his people. And his sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him. I'm going to show you from scriptural evidence that they buried the body in the grave, but he was gathered unto his people. He was very much still alive, but physically dead, and his body was buried. There are other places we could go, but now go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 25. So keep moving up in the Old Testament till you find 1 Samuel. It's quite a ways up. 1 Samuel 25. And we're going to read now about a prophet of God, a man of God by the name of Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Verse number 1, and Samuel died. That's going to be the record for me too someday, and for you. It's the record of every man. And Samuel died. And all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. So he died and they buried him. What did they bury? They buried his body. Now, having read that, go a few chapters ahead to chapter 28. Saul is the king of Israel. Saul and Samuel had been friends and acquainted in the time of Samuel's life, and now Samuel's dead and buried. Saul seeks a woman that is said to have a familiar spirit. He disguises himself so she won't know he's the king. And he goes to this woman and he asks her to bring someone up from the dead. Watch now. In verse number 11, then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he's covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel, who is dead and buried, Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I'm sore distressed. And he told him, I need your help. And he asked for a favor. Now, when Samuel answers Saul, here's what he says in verse 19. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. Where was he? Well, he was buried in the grave. His body, but his soul obviously was not. And wherever his soul was, he was disquieted, called up, and he says then to Saul, tomorrow you're going to be here with me and your sons. Is he talking about the grave? No, because evidence will reveal in just a moment that that wasn't possible. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 25. Or not 1 Samuel chapter 25, 1 Samuel chapter 28. Again. Actually, let me see here. I've gone to the wrong place. Go with me to chapter 31. I didn't write this down correctly. 1 Samuel chapter 31. Look at verse 4. Then said Saul, this is the one who called Samuel up from the dead through this woman with a familiar spirit. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor-bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell on it. And when his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise on his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons and his armor-bearer, all his men, that same day together. What did Samuel say? Tomorrow you and your sons are going to be with me. So his sons, he and his sons die. Look at verse number 7. And when the men of Israel were on the other side of the valley, and they that were on the other side Jordan saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled. And the Philistines came and dwelt in them. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent him into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So if Samuel was saying to Saul, you and your sons are going to be with me tomorrow, and he was referring to the grave, what happened in the record could not have been true. But what happened in the record was they were slain that day. They departed and went to be where Samuel was. And then their bodies were disposed of or taken care of a day or two later, according to the record. All right, so let's keep going. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter number 17. And verse number 3. And I'm just going to quote to you, if you want to jot it down, go ahead. But Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 16, God says to Moses, thou shalt sleep. He's referring to the fact that Moses is going to die. And Moses does die. And in Matthew 17 and verse 3, verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brethren, bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Moses is dead and buried, but Moses appears on the Mount of Transfiguration along with Elijah, and is talking with the Lord Jesus. Peter knows who it is and recognizes it and said, we need to build a tabernacle, three tabernacles, one for you, Lord Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elias. So I'm showing you that in scriptural terminology, to be physically dead does not mean to be dead, does not mean to be non-existent. Go back again to the Old Testament, the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 2. Much of Daniel is prophetic and is telling what is coming in the future, what God has planned. And in Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 1, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Just those whose names are written in the book will be delivered. Watch verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth, there's that physical death, shall awake. There is a resurrection, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So there's going to be an awaking. The awaking indicates a resurrection, but the indication is that the consciousness, the soul, has returned to the body. There is a reunion in the resurrection, and there will be then an everlasting existence, some in everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. By the way, that word contempt is only found one other place, that Hebrew word. Go with me to Isaiah. So you have to go backwards now to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. And I'm looking now at verse number 24. We'll start in verse number 22. Isaiah 66, verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I shall make, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord. So let me stop there and say that if we went back to the book of Revelation, we would read the account of the making of a new heaven and a new earth. The Old Testament reference is in verse 22. So shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring. Same word as contempt back in Daniel chapter 12. They shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. So we have the bodies of those who transgressed and their worm. That's referring to the worm that eats the flesh or eats the body, will not die, will never be consumed, and the fire shall not be quenched, and men will look upon them, and they shall be an abhorring of all flesh. If it's difficult for you to conceive that a body could be in flame and not be consumed, remember that there was a bush in the book of Exodus in chapter 2 where Moses viewed the bush on fire. And he drew near and he heard the voice of God, and the bush was never consumed by the fire. It was on fire, but never consumed by the fire. And so that is the power of our God. Now let's leave the Old Testament for a moment. We see the evidences in the Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament, John chapter 11. Probably the most famous passage. John chapter 11, here's a man by the name of Lazarus. He's a friend of the Lord Jesus, along with his sisters, Mary and Martha. He gets sick and he dies. Look with me at verse number 11. John chapter 11, verse number 11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. He what? He sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. They thought he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. But Jesus said he sleeps. Come down to verse number 25. Jesus said unto her, that is to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Remember in John 5:24, we learned last week that when you hear the words of God and you believe, you pass from death unto life. Now go to the end of the chapter, towards the end of the chapter. And verse number 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. By the way, back in verse 39, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He's been dead 4 days. The body's been in the tomb for 4 days. In verse 43, he speaks with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. And so again, we see the body in death, but the soul, the individual named Lazarus, can hear the voice of God. Last week we looked in John 5, and Jesus said, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. So the spiritually dead hear the voice of the Son of God in the gospel. They believe and they pass from death into life. Now they're spiritually alive. And Jesus said they'll never die because now they have not only physical life, but spiritual life. And so Lazarus hears his soul, the individual Lazarus who had inhabited the body, which has been dead 4 days and is buried, hears the voice of God and re-enters the body, and the body and Lazarus come forth from the grave. But that's not all. Go to chapter 19, John chapter 19. Jesus is being crucified. And in verse number 30 of John 19, we read, and Jesus therefore had received the vinegar. He said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Something is released. Something departs. He gave up the ghost. Then they begin to speak about the bodies and the preparation of the bodies. And look at verse number 38, and After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, and about 100-pound weight, and they took the body of Jesus, wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There they laid Jesus. There laid they Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Look at verse number 20, or chapter number 20. Jesus now is no longer in the sepulcher. Verse number 11, Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. They say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. She's talking about his body. She came to anoint his body. It's the first day of the week, and he's been laying in the grave, and now the body is not there, and she doesn't know where it is. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him, hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. I'm not going to get to the point I wanted to get today, so we'll come back later to that. But I want you to remember that when Jesus was on the cross, he said to the thief, who said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Here's the words of Jesus. You know them. Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So while he's still living and breathing, his body on the cross with his lips and with his breath, he says to this man, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And then we have the record that he gave up the ghost, and they took his body and put it in the sepulcher. Now he says, 3 days later, to Mary, I've not yet ascended into heaven. So where was he? He was in paradise, where he promised he would be with the thief who died next to him on the cross. 3 days in paradise. So suffice it to say this, and we'll come back and study this together. There is a place in Scripture always recorded as being downward from man and in the earth, or in the center or heart of the earth, where all the souls of departed people went. When you read the expression, he was gathered unto his people, they all go to the same place. In that place, in the center of the earth, there was a division and a gulf between the two. In the one were the souls of the departed dead that were spiritually dead. On the other side, sometimes called paradise, sometimes called Abraham's bosom, were the departed souls of those who died in faith, those who are awaiting the death of Jesus Christ, the atonement for their sin. And Jesus, in Luke 16, during his earthly ministry, tells a story of two people who die. One, being dead and in hell, lifts up his eyes and cries out. He sees Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. And he cries out, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and to touch my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, there's a great gulf fixed between us, and he can't pass. You in your lifetime received good things and Lazarus evil. Now he is comforted and you're tormented. When the Bible speaks of the death of Lazarus, the second person in that story, it says he died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Both men departed their bodies. Both bodies were buried, but their soul, their individual existence continued, one in the place called hell, the other in a place called paradise. Now, stay with me and don't be confused, because time has gone from us this morning, but I want you to understand there are two Greek words or two Hebrew words in the Bible that tell us where people go when they die. Job asked the question, where is he? He's gone. He gave up the ghost. Where is he? Well, the Bible answers that. There's two words, Sheol and Kibar. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly, Q-U-E-B-E-R. And those two words are used interchangeably. Both of them are sometimes translated by the English word hell. But there's a very distinct difference between the two. And there are some things said about one that are never said about the other. And I'm simply saying to you this morning, the truth of Scripture is that every departed soul, so the body is laid to rest in the grave or is in the sea, but it's as if it were sleeping, awaiting for the consciousness to return. But the conscious existence of that individual is very much real and very much still alive in a place in the Old Testament called hell, which could refer to all of what I just described. But the one part of it, according to Jesus, is called paradise or Abraham's bosom. When Jesus says to Mary, I've not yet descended into heaven, where was he for 3 days? He told the man on the cross, I'll be with you in paradise. So he was there in the heart of the earth. The Bible says that there would be no sign given to the generation in which Jesus lived except the sign of Jonah. Remember that? As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the grave? No, in the heart of the earth. The word heart always means the innermost, the center, the central place. And so the Lord Jesus was 3 days in paradise. There are other scriptures which indicate that he was preaching righteousness and so forth. But nonetheless, after his resurrection and when Mary sees him, he said, I've not yet ascended into heaven. So he had been in a place of departed souls, and he'd been the place where Samuel was. He'd been the place where Moses was. All of those who are gathered unto the Lord in faith were waiting for the effectual death of the Lord Jesus Christ to atone for their sin, so that then they could be led by Jesus into heaven and to dwell in heaven. And now heaven is the place of departed souls. So those who die in the New Testament now go directly, the souls go directly to heaven, go directly to be with Jesus. Paul said it this way, for me to abide in the flesh is needful for you. But he said, I am in a strait. I'm in a fix. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ. Nevertheless, to remain with you is more needful. But he would rather depart and be with Christ, which he said is far better. So again, the New Testament truth is departure. So in the Old Testament, the souls of those who were spiritually dead went into hell. This place, this reserved in the center of the earth for all of the souls of men, and in the other side, the souls of those who were spiritually alive by faith, looking forward to Christ, are gathered in paradise, waiting for their Redeemer to come and lead captivity captive. When Jesus rose from the grave and ascended to his Father in heaven, the blood was applied. Now that part of hell or the grave, as it's indicated in Scripture, is now empty, and all of the departed saints are in heaven with the Lord Jesus. And when we die, we go to join him there, but the souls of those who die spiritually dead still go to hell. And at the judgment seat in Revelation chapter 20, which we read at the beginning, the sea and death and hell give up those dead which were in them, and they're judged, and they're cast into the lake of fire, if their name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's already determined long before the judgment day, but the judgment day reveals the justice of God. that what they have endured, where they are headed, what their lot is according to truth. They would not receive the gift of life. Their names are not written in the Lamb's book, and they are shown to be guilty. Every mouth is stopped, and all the world becomes guilty before God. So I ask you this morning, when you die, where will you be? Job wanted to know. Down through the centuries, men have wanted to know. Well, the Bible tells you. If you die without Christ, if you die without passing from death unto life through hearing the words of God and believing on Him, if you die without the Son, you will not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on you. You will be in a place called hell, which in days to come will be cast into the lake of fire. But as Jesus described the rich man's experience in hell, he was in torment and in flame and could remember and could see and could hear. Conscious torment for all of eternity. But the man or the woman who has become spiritually alive through faith in Jesus no longer goes to wait with the righteous dead for the resurrection of Christ. For Christ is our resurrection. And as He arose, so we arose with Him. And now those of us who are saved are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where the dead are. You're going to die. Where will you be? The books will surely reveal the truth. There's no escaping the truth. Will your name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father,